Tom would quit playing soldier or whatever he's doing, then he could be a good undercover guy. Huh? Kayla might. Well, I don't know about him. Romans 4. Yes. Yeah. Start cussing and that would be the end of it. That'd really be a stretch for you, wouldn't it?
Don't believe me.
We're talking about Abraham. So let's read a few verses. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the faith, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now this next verse, we're going to study that more, but I want to get to the verse 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What? Oh, we need the we need no. We need the Where's the blanket?
We don't have a backup blanket yet.
I'm not, but others appear to be. You got to do it exactly like Harry does, or somebody will tell him. If it's crooked, you got to fix it.
In the name of Harry.
In the name of Harry. Kevin, will you sit down? Oh no, it's got to make sure it's all.
Oh, that's fine.
I think you need to tape
it. Don't.
Don't take it.
Nice.
That's the dirty. That's the dirty side.
No. This verse, to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt, defines most Christians' walk. The question is, what are you working on? What do you think that you have to work on today? What issue is going to cause you to go more into psychic debt? Anybody have any examples of what you're working on?
I think usually it's something that's not quite clear. It's like something you hope to find out may be there.
That's a good one. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So even the very sacrifice of God, which was to provide and make you totally free, it only causes you to have more debt because you've incorrectly viewed the sacrifice. each one of you, I'm sure, if you look at yourself, each one of us, all of us, there's no way you can ever look at yourself and think that you don't have work to do. But the minute you do that, then this incredible mystery and sacrifice of God becomes not the instrument of freedom, but it becomes the instrument of unbelievable more debt than you've ever dreamed of. Because you will constantly try to meet some standard that you're not able to meet. And all of the advice that people do and give, all of the opinions that you have about the way somebody else should be, only piles on them more and more debt. And if you're doing it, I promise you, if you're doing it to somebody else, you're just trying to do that to cover up your own debt. And it's massive. Every how-to book that you've ever read becomes debt. Every image of yourself that other people have placed on you becomes more and more debt. And all the voices that you listen to in your head only produce more and more debt. And it just becomes something that pushes you over the edge. And then starts the acting. Then starts the leaven. Because all you do is act. Who can possibly believe that by one offering you have been perfected forever? Who can possibly look at the universe and look at the world and think that it's perfect? The only way that can be done is for you to abandon yourself and not give any credence to what you think. I mean, you could be like Harry, since Harry isn't here today. Harry asked me, for instance, he says, okay, when would you like to have this done? And I'd say, oh, I don't know, 1st of July. And so that date that was just pulled out of the air that has no meaning becomes an unbelievable debt to him. And then even more stupidly, he does it to himself. He thinks, well, I've got to have this done by this time, and then this done by this time, and this done by this time. And so what you'd end up in is you're spiritually and everything else bankrupt. And you're starving to death because you're feeding on this thing that you've invented. And you start murdering and screaming and yelling, and you'll kill anybody that gets in your way because you've got to meet that imagined date. And what natural debt does, I mean, the debt that the world is so familiar with, financial debt, that's so obvious. That when you have a debt and you have unbelievable pressure from creditors contacting you or from the IRS or from whoever it is, that's just a picture of the spiritual debt that you've put yourself in. But you can't admit it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, or I'm just ranting here? Gary? Something's going on besides the toothpick.
Yeah, keep talking.
No, tell me what's going on.
The financial debt, I've got plenty of that.
But it's just the revelator of the spiritual debt. Do you understand that?
Well, I understand that that's a principle of whatever, but do I really understand it? No, I don't. I don't know what spiritual debt I have. I hear this, I see it, I believe it. And yet I've got a lot of financial debt. I don't know that I don't operate under the grace of God, but I'm sure I must. If what you say is true.
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah.
Is financial debt a revelatory of your spiritual condition? I've said that for 30 years or 35 years. But is it true? You'll have to find that out for yourself. But let's go to Haggai, the book of Haggai. It's not Haggai, but Haggai. It's not the book of John Haggai.
First one to find it.
Chapter 1. Everybody find it? tell Kevin what page it's on.
What's the abbreviation?
973.
H-A-G. Chapter 1, verse 3. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 2. Are you there yet? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Remember the situation with Haggai? Remember the Ezra and Nehemiah had called the captives back from Babylon and told them to come and build the Lord's house. And only the desperate and the poor came, because most of the Jews in Babylon were leading very good, comfortable lives. Sound familiar? And they were called to come back to this kind of desolate place. And so all the losers came back to Jerusalem. And the only thing that was left in Jerusalem of the temple was the cornerstone and the altar. And so they were called to come back and rebuild the temple. That was the reason. Okay, now, so they've been back now about 16 years. And what's happened was, is these poor, desperate people that didn't make it in Babylon, they were able to have a modicum of success in this poor, desolate place, because then they didn't have to compare themselves to the riches of Babylon. They could compare themselves to they had a lower standard to compare themselves to. And so they built their own houses, and they were getting on well in their own mind. And then Haggai came. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and bring in little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but your thirst is not filled," is what it really says. "And you clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much." In other words, your mind says, if I do this, I'll get a whole bunch of stuff. "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, even the little that you brought home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, Now I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So what happened? How much of our efforts are spent building our own house? Building our own futures, our own lives, our own things. And only you can know that. Only you can tell that. Only you internally know. And you can take all the vows of poverty in the universe, and you can do, but the question is a question only you can answer. How much of your life is devoted to ministering to self versus how much of your life is laying down your life for the sake of the mystery? Now, this is a biggie, because this defines who we are. Let's go on. Let's read the rest of this. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw the house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison, as of nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I commanded with you when you came out of Egypt according that the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth strong among you, fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake all of the heavens and all of the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place I give you peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now what has happened? Now the house of the Lord is finished. The house of the Lord is finished. The new Jerusalem is complete. The table is set for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everything is over. Everything is finished. The idea now is that there is no thing left for you to do except enter into his rest. Now, that's why it says, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And it doesn't matter whether you think you're working for the glory of God or you're working to your own sealed house. If you're working it, then everything you do will be translated and be back to you as a debt. Does that communicate? Does anybody believe it's finished? Does anyone believe the New Jerusalem is down and all around us? Does anybody believe the only function that we have is to enter into his rest? Does anyone believe that by one offering you've been perfected forever? Does anyone believe that you own all things? Does anyone believe that all things that are going on in the universe are going on for your sake, that you might see more clearly the mystery of God? It's a big deal. Can you look today and say, my warfare is over. I have lost. A great example is, I'll pick on Harry since he's not here. Before Harry became desperate, he and three partners had a company called Brimstone Films, which I thought was very appropriate. And they didn't pay their employee taxes, you know, the withholding taxes to them. And then they ended up, everything they did failed, and they ended up going boom. And they didn't go bankrupt. Even if they did go bankrupt, they owed $500,000 to the IRS. And that's when, you know, just before before everything fell apart completely, Harry had gone to Tilton and given him $5,000 because he would get a hundredfold blessing. And so he gave him $5,000, and he'd get the $500,000, and it would save his marriage. And well, you know what happened there. But anyway, so here he is, $500,000 in debt. And his partner, which was Charlie Brim, went to the IRS and made a deal to pay it, his portion of it. And so he got a good job. But no matter how much he paid, the debt is increasing because the interest and penalties are moving up faster than any amount of money he could possibly pay him. Harry and I, on the other hand, we went to talk to the IRS. And we said to him, Harry doesn't have anything and has no possibility of ever having anything again. And he's working for a public nonprofit corporation, and he is doing work that will benefit the community. And so they said, okay, as long as he's working for you, he doesn't owe us any money. So just the two cases. One hand, the other guy, Charlie Brim, is successful in the world's eyes, and he's, but nobody knows about that. This debt is piling up faster than he can pay even the interest and penalties.
Until now.
Yeah. Harry, on the other hand, is simply did what was set before him, and he owes him nothing. Now, how does that relate? Well, it may not relate to in your particular situation, I don't know. But what it shows is that the scriptures are true. That it's possible for you to enter into that rest and be totally free. And to never again think that you have anything to work, and you just enter into his rest and let the world and everything around it fall where it may. Now to me that's, because really the only thing, and remember it says, up here, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill the house that was parable was that one that we're building. Now he's filled the house, the temple in the New Jerusalem. It's filled with the glory of God. And all he's waiting for is his people to go in there and enter into it. All it takes for you is to see through everything and not look at anything. Now that's the lesson of Abraham, too. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, it's total freedom. To communicate.
I was thinking, if you think that the spiritual realm is based on debt like that, then your whole rest of your life will be too. You know, it's like if my salvation or my relationship with God or whatever you want to call it is based on me doing something.
And it's
it's got to be
right. And if your relationship with Josiana was based on your performance, you failed.
It'd be bad.
You'd failed.
Why did you bring up something? My whole day back.
And if our relationship with each other was based on performance, it's gone. And so all of these things that you want to do, and all of these little deals that you hear, and so, well, if I just did this, then every single one of them will only get you in more debt because you're still working.
Got one more bank robbery, then I'm out. Then I'm going to jail.
That's like Matthew 7. Didn't we do great things? Turn 8.
Well, he said, depart from me, workers of iniquity. You workers of, and on the word iniquity, it means self-seeking.
Wow. I mean, I never thought about that in relation to this debt thing, because once you say that, you immediately reveal, like, didn't I do whatever, X, Y, Z? Once you say that, it changes your whole dimension that you're living in. Suddenly you're somewhere else, you know, in a work.
Suddenly you're taking a stand, yeah. Even before God, you're taking a stand.
Yeah.
I did the best I could, Lord. Well, you dumb.
Hey, then you're out.
We had Bible study every day.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Means nothing. What's going on internally is the only religion that counts with God. Does that help clarify anything? But your question is still, what do I do? And what you do is you say, no matter how hard this hurts, what you say, what I do is absolutely none of my business. And that's the scariest thing that you can ever do.
To just really let go.
No longer in your hands. You're going through something, Mr. Gary. What's going on?
Talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
My personal life is, you know, I always wanted to sit down and study scriptures and, you know, just
talk.
Be involved in this stuff. That's not what God saw fit for me to do, which now I'm glad. I've struggled against it for quite some time. Now, you know, I do what I do. And as you talk, I can see that as I go in the world, if I take it on as my project, it becomes a great burden. But if I stay in the way, in the rest, it all takes place and I just am there for the ride and it works.
If you stay in the way and get out of the way.
And get out and stay yielded, then the timing is always not to my liking necessarily.
It's never to your liking.
Yeah. God's timing is always perfect, and I've got 30 years of experience behind me on that. And that's what I was seeing and thinking while you're talking this. Because if you look at my, you know, there's a lot about my life that doesn't add up, doesn't match, doesn't work, whatever. But grace doesn't change.
Remember what we said yesterday? It's how does faith see it? And so you have to see it the same way as faith see it, because the only reason time and space exist is that you would be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is this good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is not something you do. The good and acceptable perfect will of God is Jesus Christ in you. And your mind must be renewed to see from the top down instead of the bottom up. And that the only way you can do that is to say it's finished. And everything else is a lie.
Yeah, it was hilarious to me while you were asking the questions. Do you believe that it's finished? Do you believe that? And inside of me, the flesh and the spirit were all weapons out. Mm. The spirit was saying, of course I believe, there's no question. The flesh was saying, stop that. You know, it was rising up and trying to squash down everything.
What about this? What about that? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was happening, you know, just all boom, boom, boom.
Remember, and this is the key to what you've just said, Galatians. The flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit. And the spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh so that you cannot do what you think you want to do. Now, so what's the answer?
Stop trying.
The answer is, stop wanting to do.
Yeah.
Just, and then that battle is over. Then that the reason for that has, and because no matter what it is, whether it's you've got some idea of what you, well, I just want to sit around and study Bible. No, that's not really true, but it's nice to say that. And so what happens is, then that's just as big an idol as if I want to be president of the United States. It doesn't matter what arena you're in. The minute that you see the flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit and the spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, then stop wooding.
Yeah.
Your warfare is over. In quietness and in confidence you shall be saved. But the last thing your mind wants is for your warfare to be over. Because then you're out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if your warfare is over, then flesh has no identity. It has nothing to feed off of. It's over.
But this, the reason we're spending so much time on the lessons of Abraham here and the related things is because this is what defines us on a second-by-second basis. You know, and then you go along and you go, okay, I'm at rest. And then you think up, or somebody else thinks up, some harebrained idea, and then you're all of a sudden, but this is a really good idea. And then you're back to the races.
Yeah, I told you not to sit there.
When you were talking about that, I was thinking, well, there's some instances like Job. All your whole herd of camels gets wiped out, and you were doing everything right. And if that's really the only place you could go is saying, well, okay, I'm not in spiritual debt, but then you have to learn the hard lesson, of Job, which means pretty soon everything's going to be gone, and I need God's trying to do something, to get down to that place that nothing else is reaching.
Amen. And this has to be this has to be it. You've got to get out of this propensity of thinking that something you're doing or something you've thought of has any merit whatsoever. That's only there to test whether or not. I mean, that's why I get used to get so upset. Well, this place has merit, or what we're doing has merit. No, it doesn't. It's no different than we're picking up garbage. Nothing that we're doing has any merit. Nothing, I promise you, nothing that you are doing has any merit except surrender, abandonment. But every time you think that something you think or something you say has merit, then the Holy Spirit has to be your enemy again. Even the doctrine.
Yeah, because if you say this has merit, you're saying that if we don't do this, the gospel's not preached. God needs this to preach the gospel.
And that's just the opposite of what the church is saying today. I mean, every, at least what I've been exposed to, we have so much merit. Look what we're doing in Africa. This is so important.
So much.
You'll never hear a pastor say that. This has no merit. At least I haven't.
You don't think I'm a pastor? I may be a pastor, but I'm not a very successful one. Take it, big guy. Oh, wait a minute.
For some reason, I was thinking of bitter manna. And that's what my manna becomes when I start thinking about it.
I used to say it was worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind. All of your ideas.
I'm having an epinephrine experience.
Take a big guy. Your epinephrine.